open your Bible. You can if you want. Brother Tim, if you can put the first slide up. If it's black, then go to the second slide, so I'll know we're on board. I'd just like to talk to you about lifting up your eyes and looking on the fields. First of all, we'll speak about lifting up your eyes and looking to the Tongas, and then you can, by extension, take that out. But I want to show what we have done among planting churches, or what the Lord has done for planting churches among the Tongas, Limpopo, South Africa. And when we return to the U.S. every 3 to 4 years, we go to the 12 churches that support us, and we show pictures like this. So it says 2025, so we're trying to make new pictures for you guys to show what we are doing there. And my hope is that you will say, okay, then my hope is that you will say, then by extension, what would God have me to do? So there's the world. We'll go from the world down to South Africa. So we'll zoom in. Wait, laser here. We'll zoom in on this. So let's start the biggest spot possible. The whole world is there. 7,000 languages, roughly. 17,000 ethnic groups. 200 countries. Actually, there's more, but it's hard to tell exactly what a country is. So it's not always clear exactly where one country ends and another begins. In Taiwan, Hong Kong, etc. 8 billion, roughly. And he is going to be king of all that. You say, well, he is the king now. Yes, in a sense. But in another sense, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I ask you, Brother Jeremy, are the Sena people, I call them Sena from the ethnologue, maybe Sena, or I'm not sure. Is that people group full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea now? Are those villages in Lesotho that you mentioned, there are no roads to those villages, are those villages right now full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? That will happen. It has not yet been completed. So we thank the Lord that he's ruling in my heart and your heart, but there's 8 billion hearts, and he's going to conquer them all in his way and in his time. And so that's where he's going to be. And there's Africa, where we're going to zoom in down there at the bottom. There's 54 countries, 1.3 billion people, 2,000 languages. Did you know that? 4,000 ethnic groups, because, for example, Tonga has two ethnic groups or more, one in South Africa, one in Mozambique. These ethnic groups are counted by the joshuaproject.net. If you like these kinds of things and like statistics, joshuaproject.net. It's a very extensive website with information on all these people groups and all the languages. They are very trustworthy when they put red dots, meaning the people are unreached. But when the joshuaproject.net puts a green dot, meaning the people group is reached, they're not always trustworthy, because they simply take a search and see how many people in that group claim to be Christian. So that's not always accurate, because many people in Zambia claim to be Christian who are not. Okay, is Africa Christian? You see at the top, there's Islam. The bottom calls itself Christian. Without the deity of Christ or justification, with a constant fear of witchcraft, crushing rates of immorality and crime, how could we call that Christianity? You'll see there our number, pink, right there, 51%, call themselves Christian. Oh, if you take all 1.3 billion people. And down here in Zambia, it's something like 86%. Zimbabwe is 84%. South Africa is 85%. Really? You're saying 17 out of 20 people are Christian in this country? If that were the case, what are these burger bars for? Because if there were really that many people saved, why would we have crime? Where's the crime coming from? So I ask you, can you find these doctrines, the deity of Christ, justification, can you find Christian, basic Christian doctrines and practices in the common areas of Africa? And my answer is no. So we are trying to plant selfish churches, and that would be churches that follow Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Acts 13 to 21. I wish someone would preach a sermon on those passages to tell us about. The three selves are self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing. Those three selves are found in Acts 13 to 21, and they summarize responsible, or indigenous, or New Testament. Because if your faith then you will pay for yourself because you care about it yourself. None of you take a wife and then say, hey, I want the guy down the street to pay for my wife. That becomes terrible, a girlfriend or something. Well, now, if we expect to pay for our wives and our kids, why should we expect our churches to pay for themselves? So when we plant churches, we don't pay any pastors. And we are doubtful of those American ministries that do pay pastors. We're not attacking. We're not shouting. We're just saying it's dangerous. Because if an American ministry has to pay a thuma, it's saying a thuma either lives in a place where there are no Christians, or if there are Christians, they don't care to support him, or he's not able. It's an insult. If you came to me and said that thing, I'd say, well, I'll think of it. It's mine. No, I need to buy your children's shoes. But I get salary. I can do it. No, we'll do all these things. We are self-supporting missionaries, or missionaries that teach the self-supporting nature of church planting. So we don't ask for money from overseas. We don't ask, that is, my salary comes from churches in my culture that pay me. But from my salary, we do not pay missionaries. We do not pay church planters. We do sometimes help, but anytime we help, we do it in such a way that we say, that's not going to build his dependence on me, so that if Seth leaves, the ministry falls apart. Our goal and our hope and our prayer is, if Seth left, the ministry would at the very least stay the same. But we hope that it would go on. So we plant churches so that you pull me out, you don't pull out the church. But in many, many times, because they don't have that first dot, self-supporting, because the money is coming from America, so then the first guy, he says, oh, I love Jesus. Thank you very much for the 4,000 rand a month. Then I will stay here. But then as soon as someone else says, oh, look at that guy. As soon as he was with the whitey, then he gets help. So then suddenly you have 10 other pastors, and they all love Jesus until the money's cut off. And then suddenly, what happened to their love for Jesus? The love for Jesus went as quickly as the bank statement. Self-propagating means they plant their own churches. That means missionary service is essential to the nature of a church. That means if your church isn't involved in missions, I don't know if you can call it a church yet. It's common to say that we call a church when it has elders and a membership. The Reformers said a church is a church when it has three things. Who knows what they are? I don't know, I guess. Do you know what? What did the Reformers say was the truth? What's that?
Preaching the word,
then church discipline, and then they said, they call them sacraments, I call them ordinances. They said you have to use the ordinances right, baptism, the Lord's table, you have to have church discipline, and you have to have biblical preaching. I would say, why don't you add missions to that? Because in the New Testament, Jesus says, teach them all things, to observe all things. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them to observe all the things I told you. Is the Great Commission one of the things he told us or not? If it's one of the things he told us, then let's tell them to do it. So I think that a church must be self-propagating. That means it evangelizes and sends out its own missionaries. If it doesn't send out its own missionaries, why not? So constantly among the Tsonga people, I'm always asking, because there's religious bodies calling themselves churches everywhere, and I'll ask the pastors or the church members there, oh really, can you name one Tsonga name, any Tsonga name, of someone who left here and they went to China, for example, or they left here and they went to Brazil, for example, or left here and they went to Djibouti. They learned the language and they're living there. Do you have anyone? So the Swiss missionaries came in 1875 among the Tsongas and translated the Bible, and they built up churches all over the place. But to this day, they've lost the gospel, and I've asked many of those Swiss mission churches, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, I've asked many of them, the pastors or the church members, have you ever sent out a missionary, even a single missionary? But they just built a massive conference center in Valdezia where we're planting a church. You'll see a two-room house here, dirt poverty, and then right there is this, ₹3 million building. Why don't you use that money to send missionaries to Mozambique for your own people group? And they're not going to answer to that. In fact, I went to their 150th celebration because 1875 was when the missionaries came. 2025 July, they had a church conference, and I asked many of the pastors, including one of the organizers of the big conference, hey, have you guys sent out one missionary? This is over about 300 congregations. Have you guys sent out even one missionary? What? Can you send, like, did you send anyone to Mozambique? No. Zim, the Shonas, there's the Seda people not far from you. They don't even have a Bible. Have you sent them there? No. So is it a church if it doesn't send out missionaries and doesn't even care? It'd be one thing if they say, oh, we haven't, but it hurts us. Oh, it hurts us. We want to do it. But what? What? No. Self-governing means we don't tell them what to do. They get the directions from the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Missions philosophy, we want to focus on the rural areas, Romans 15, right? Focus on the areas where Christ was not named. We want to live among them. So we built our house in a village in, I came in 2004, my wife came in 2005. We built our house in a little village called Makungele, right beside Sipazonke, right by Feed Us and right by Mpeng, which means give me, right by the village of Give Me, We're All Dying, and Feed Us. And so we built our house there and lived there until 2014. And then in 2015, we moved out because of crime. But my point behind that is to say, we want to live among them, and we want you to send missionaries who live right there. So right now, we live in Louis Streetcar, and we drive in the village. The best is to live in the village with the people. We're glad to do the best we can where we're at. Learn their language. We don't want to hear English. Not going to like English.
George Whitfield spoke to 30,000 people without a mic, and I feel like emasculated turning on the mic. Learn their language. So we loved Tsonga. We try to learn Tsonga because we want to reach people who have the least opportunity. Take time in Bible studies so we're not rushing before they're converted. In general, it takes 1 to 2 years of Bible studies before people confess Christ publicly, and then live modestly. That doesn't mean we cover our bodies, although we do try to do that, but live in such a way that it doesn't say, we're Americans, we're filled with cash. Of course, that's going to be there to a degree, but we try to say we're going to live on a level that is similar. Okay, so here's Africa and the rural stats. Right there, you see the region of the world over here. Africa, 60% of Africa was rural. That's in 2015, because I don't know how to find better statistics, because I don't have research assistants like some people get to have them for their writing. So, roughly, little old statistics, but you get the idea. 3 out of 5 people in Africa live in what's called rural areas. And in South Africa, it's 19 million. That's the biggest number of all the African countries. At least all that I surveyed there. So, we want to focus on those areas, that rural area. And then, of course, you say then, what is? English is rare. Tar roads are rare, jobs are rare. So if you find a place that can use English, then it gets points on the civilized scale or the non-rural, the urban scale. If you find a place with lots of tar roads, it gets points on the urbanized scale. If you find a place with jobs, it gets points. The more jobs, the more points. The more English, the more points. And then our goal is to go to the place with the lower, the more rural, or in other words, the more poor. Paul said in Galatians, I wanted to remember the poor. I was eager to remember the poor. In 2 Corinthians, he says, I was pressing to go to the areas beyond, past where had been reached. So I think we need to have as our missions philosophy an emphasis on rural. And by rural, that's the way I define it. If you want to define it a different way, fantastic. My point is, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, right? From what book of the Bible? I told you. Thank you for those 3 people who listened. From John. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields. And if you want to say, well, we'll call it something different. I don't care. Great. Fantastic. But try. Because there's... How do I go back? Bink. Look at that. 46% of the world. Although some stats say it's a majority of the world. But this is a massive number of billions of people who live, including China and India and Bangladesh and Pakistan, including the Middle East, and then all through Africa and all through South America. There's a massive number of people who live outside of the place where they've got English, tar roads, and jobs. So while we bless God for this church, don't let your eyes stop here. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields. So this is a very important concept that I want to press on you. There are two worlds in Africa. Most of you know this, but you forget it. Or maybe when I say you know it, really do you, I mean, what does the word know even mean? The word know is tricky. Like, do you know your Bible? How many of you put your hand up and say, I know my Bible? I mean, you know, partly you know it. I mean, what's it mean? Do I know Amy? I mean, not like Jesus knows her. I want you to know this concept well, because knowing this concept will help you to know rural. And we commonly forget the rural because we forget that there are two worlds. So we act as if our country is a country. But a country, this country is not a country because it doesn't share a similar culture. South Africa, I question, is South Africa a country? It shares a similar constitution, but the laws aren't even enforced the same way in all the places. There are no building codes where we're at. All the church buildings we're going to show you, I just drew it on an A4 piece of paper on my kitchen table. We didn't hire builders. We Googled how to build, honestly, and watched some YouTube videos. Paul bought a book, How to Build. I mean, are you guys, if you build here at Nelsport Bible Church, are you going to be like at night, hey, Tilda, before I go to bed, let's just Google how to build. So that's my point, is that difference, as humorous as it might be, carries underneath of it a thousand other differences that are highly consequential. So here's the best, or the most developed. When I say the best, I guess I just mean most developed of each area. So there's a big cityscape inside Johannesburg, and there's a developed area inside South Africa. So if any of you come to visit us, or if you come to gym camp or whatever, you'll see in Elim, where we originally built our house, you'll see a mall. I mean, a mall? You see a McDonald's, 24 hours. Well, when I moved there, there was no mall. There were some little shops, but there was no mall. There was no Spar. There was no Pick and Pay. There was no paying with a Visa. It was much less developed in 2004. Well, now there's a mall there on one side and a Spar on the other side and two KFCs like 100 meters apart from each other. What's up with that? So it's greatly developed in some ways and in some places. So there are homes like this. You see a home like this, I say, well, that's bigger than the home I own. Maybe it is. So there are developed comforts in the rural areas. And there are developed buildings in the urban areas. So that would be one side of Africa's two worlds. You could see the richest, most developed of the urban world and the richest, most developed of the rural. But then you've got this, maybe, in your cities. And then you've got this as our next-door neighbor. When we built our house in Elim, this was our next-door neighbor. So what? Exegete that photo for me. What do you see if you're exegete? Brother Gordon, please. I'm sorry, you're in the cheap seats. You know, it's very expensive here. If you'd asked, I would have paid for you to sit here. What do you see in the photo? Yeah. Isn't that? That's honestly why the photo's in there, because of the DSTV. And what's more interesting is, because I live there, they don't have electricity. They ran an extension cord from their hut to our other neighbor in order to have a TV. There's no cement in the floor of that hut. What else do you see in the photo? How many women? They're the same. They're married to the same man. It's multiple women with six different kids in that one-room shack. That was our next-door neighbor. But wait, that is coexisting right beside this. Look at this right here. This is the best of the area where we're at. This picture is actually about 20 Ks from our house. But there's things, maybe not quite this nice, but there's some nicer houses near the house that Amy and I built. And then there's that as the next door neighbor of our house. But then this is the poverty near you guys. My point is, both worlds are there. The people with this kind of poverty, most of these people, I don't know about most, many of these people have jobs and would come back here and then send the money back to wherever their home is. These people might have jobs and might even be renting places. These people probably don't have jobs. There's a different world. You could say there's poverty in both places. Well, there's so much poverty in Ellsport. I agree, there's there. But it's a different kind of poverty than that poverty. And there's wealth, even in Limpopo, there's wealth, but it's just different. So that my point is that there's two different worlds. And I'm trying to press that on our minds, because if we forget those two different worlds, then what we will do is we will tend to say, well, South Africa has churches. Yes, what about the 19 million who don't speak English or very poor English? Okay, so there's South Africa, and then we'll zoom in on it even tighter. Tsonga has 7 million. Venda has 4 million. Shona has 18 million. Shona is the second most populous language group in the continent. So sorry, Zulus. Pretty self-confident, pretty glad to be Zulu, but Shona's got you beat. This is our area, so that's just a zoom in. There, I circled it. Now I'll zoom into the circle, and that's what was circled. So we now live right there at Lewis Streetcar. We live there. Paul and Melinda live right about there. Now, that little purple square, I'm going to zoom in the next slide. We'll show you that purple square. But that red area right there is where the Tsongas live. So you see this half of the map is, of course, South Africa, and there's Kruger. So the 3 million Tsongas live in this little slot right in there. 3 million Tsongas. And then you guys, bingo. And then 4 million Tsongas live in this area right here. Take out Kruger. 4 million Tsongas live here. So you get 7 million in that people group, and when the Bible says go to all the world, I don't think the national boundaries were very important. It was largely the people groups, the ethnic groups that have to be reached. So right here, we've got South Africa's Tsongas, but we want to reach over here into Mozambique and reach Mozambique's Tsongas. So that is our long-term goal and the weight that presses heavily on me. Lord willing, my son Caleb is in university now, and he's hoping to return and to work in that area. And then Brother Jeremy was speaking about a lady who's up about there. Okay, so this blue slide is that purple. See that little purple box? That purple box is where we're working. And let me just show you this. So you see, there's the 3 million, and there's the 4 million, and we're only working in that little box. And even in that box, we've reached so few. So the weight needs to press on us. That's why we say lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Think carefully and slowly by degree through all the facets of what it means to be evangelizing the world. When our Lord said lift up your eyes and look on the fields, he said two commands there. Lift up your eyes means stop focusing on that thing that you are focusing on. Look on the fields. Take an active choice of the will to focus on this different focus. So there's two parts there, stop and start. There's always something that's going to occupy our attention, and you will not focus on that unless you take active steps toward it. So lift up your eyes and look that way. I'm trying to do that. And I'm trying to help you to do that for whatever people group you want to do it. And you can do it with the Tsongas with me. Or if you say, well, I have a friend working with the Swati. Fantastic. Pray for the Swati. Oh, you're Swati, not Zulu. Okay. So here's the area we've been working in. If you have good eyes, you can see that says Elam. That red is where we have our first church or church plant. So Elam is entirely self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing now. There's the first church plant. We built our house right there. And now there's the church. So that church has its own pastor, Alpheus Nyalungu. He's a Tsonga man, preaches in Tsonga, and the church membership is entirely Tsonga, and we love them and thank the Lord for them. Right now we're working in Valdezia. That's where the Swiss missionaries originally came to, and that's where we have a church with 20 members there. Bokota, that's where Paul lives, and Paul plants a church right there. That's another church. There's another church. There's an. So you see them spread out. Total, there's four different Tsonga pastors. There's 84 members among those and 20 jobs. So after 20 years, that's about what we've got to show for it. And then we thank God for that because God's been answering prayer. Because Daniel asked, what has been something that's really encouraged you? Well, that really encourages me. But then at the same time, you think, really, that encourages you when that's left? I mean, you've got 84 people in that little box and zero. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields. Pray. Pray that God would send out missionaries. Here's the selfish church. Elam, this is the first church building that we built. And that was built by the money from the Africans. Every Saturday from 2011 to 2017, we were out there working. We didn't pay a builder. We didn't have a builder. And we just built that building. And then in 2017, we left. And that is now pastored by Alpheus Nyalungu. So those are not all church members. Those are visitors from all the church plants that day at a combined service. And many of them are visitors and not members. But there are members in there too, of course. So these are a bunch of banners inside. Sola Scriptura, Biblia Insana, Sola Gratia, Tinsala Insana, Sola Deo Gloria, Kudzinishkum Insana, Sola Fide, Ripumel Insana, Sola Christus. And then Amy made all those banners. And we had another guy make this pulpit. But we didn't pay. We took the money from the people. I'm sorry. We didn't ask for money from the U.S. or ask for money from other places. But we didn't reject it either. So we did the work ourselves. We didn't pay builders. But when we got up to the roof at the top, we didn't have money for it. And then David DeBrain's church just called us out of nowhere and said, we'd like to give an offering for Christmas. Could we give you money? And we said, well, we don't have a roof, and we wanted to be indigenous. We're not going to say no. I don't know. Let me ask the men. Now, let me tell you this other story about this church. We started that church in our living room in 2007 and then started Sunday morning services in 2008. And when we started, none of these are transfer growth. It's all first generation new believers. And when we started this one, we started building in 2011. That's 4 years after we started. So the church is 4 years old and we start to build. When we started to build, on Saturday night, our men met, and I asked them, which was mainly boys and one man, and I asked them, should we ask America to give us money? And everyone said yes. And inside I thought, self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing, I'm never asking America for money. Absolutely not. So we went on. Amy made cookies, and we sold cookies. All the women of the church sold cookies. We found a recipe on the internet for making lip balm, or lip oil, or whatever you call it, and medics or whatever, and she made that, and then the women of the church helped sell those things, and then we sold Bibles, and then little bits of money. If we had enough money for cement, we'd go out and put up a few bags of cement. If we didn't, then we'd sell, and back and forth. So it went from 2011 to 2017 to put that up. And the boys and the men of the church did that. And then in 2016, when we finished the walls, David DeBrain called and said, I'd like to give you guys money. I said, well, let me talk to the church. So the men met again. Now they're 6 years older, so they're going from boys. I mean, when does an 18-year-old become a man? 22, 23, 24? So now they're all older, and I asked them, should we ask America for money? And Alpheus Nyalungu, who's now the pastor of the church, said, absolutely not, because what we've learned over the last 6 years is that we black people aren't stupid. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Like that one. That's exactly right. He said, we've learned we're not stupid. We can do it ourselves if we work hard. I thought, that's it. That's it. They're believers who are standing on their own. They're not saying, oh, gimme, gimme, I can't do anything. They're men. They're equals. And that's the work of the Spirit, taking them out of the sin of self-pity, because even self-pity is a sin. I can't do anything. You got to help me. Grow up. Repent. And there's good, godly men doing it. And then I said, well, I just want to tell you, we were offered 75,000 rand to build the roof. You want to take it or not? Ah! Yes, let's take it! So they decided to take it. It was from an African church without asking, after 6 years of working every Saturday. So that church is, in my opinion, that's a modern miracle, and it is a great joy of our lives. Is that I think if we die, that would not stop. And that's Alpheus and Shoni. And they're fantastic. They both have jobs. They both work. And then Alpheus does pastoral work when he can, at night and on the weekend. And he's just dedicated to the Lord with all his heart. He lives. Repeatedly I've said to him, brother, I'm just so concerned. On a Sunday, he leaves his house at 8:30. And until this year, that man and his wife and his kids, every Sunday went to 3 church plants with Amy and I. So they went to the first church plant. They got out of that one at 12:30. They went to the second one at 2 o'clock. They never went home. Went to the second one on that map, way back there, the map I showed you. They went to the second one. Then from that one, they went to another one at 6 o'clock. And they got home at 8 p.m. at night for years. And I told him repeatedly, brother, I'm so concerned. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to get exhausted. And he said to me, we can rest when we get to heaven. We need to help these sanghas. Where is the man? Where? Why don't we have brothers and sisters like this? What about your own love? My own love. These guys work Monday to Friday. And they dedicate their Saturdays and Sundays to the church. I'm not telling you to do something that hurts your family. I'm not telling you to do something that da-da-da-da-da. However you are built and however you are called, but look at their faith and let it inspire you in whatever way is godly and appropriate and right and just for you. This is Trinity, where Paul has planted his church. This is the building that he's built. And inside there, you know, of course, they're meeting. And then on the right over here, boop, they have a school building now. That's inside. And that's at a joint service. So, yeah, example, you'll see some white faces in there. We combined all the services and then even invited some people from Lutrecart to come join us. This is a new church being planted about 45 minutes down the road. This is where Paul's working. They have 2 members there. And then most of these people are coming with Paul from Bogota. There's about 8 or so people who come from this area every week. And 2 of the 8 are baptized. This is Valdezia Rock Baptist Church. 19 members. We 5,800 for building times 20 roughly. With 100,000, 120,000 rand to build the building. Since 2015, we've started meeting. And now they have 4 weekly prayer meetings that they run by themselves. We built this sign to show them you have to go up the mountain, and that's the 5 solas right there. And then we put it up in rock. And then just after we did that, this sign was on 2 sides. So there, and then on the other side, just after we did that, a vandal came and tore the sign down. Didn't knock the rocks down. He tore the metal printed sign. The church had paid for it. And they tore that metal printed sign down. So we plastered it. I've got pictures of it now, but whatever. We plastered it up and fixed the sign, and they damaged that. They've damaged our sign 5 times, whoever is there. But when they tore it off, I just took a whiteboard marker and marked Matthew 10:22. That verse says, you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And 2 guys stopped me on the road. 2 men have stopped me on the road and said, you're the Matthew 10:22 church. You will be hated by all men, but if you persevere, you'll be saved. Ah, I read the verse. So this is the church. And if you gasped, it would make me happy. It's rock. And we didn't pay any builders. We didn't know how to build with rock. We just collected the rock from the bush. And we had no men in the church. These are boys. The oldest one is 24, and the youngest is, 14 or 15 or something. And we just built it. Again, I just went on YouTube, how to build with rock. And we just tried because we didn't have cement and there were no jobs in the church when we started. So we said, we're going to try it. So at first we said, we're just going to build up to the foundation and see what happens. Okay, we can do the foundation. So we built the foundation with rock, and then we had a little bit of money from the offering, so we put the cement at the bottom. And they said, well, let's just try. We'll just do up 500 high. Okay, we did that. Let's just try to go a meter high. So then we just kept going up. And again, as we got near to the end, a church in the U.S. called us and said, we have a Christmas love offering. Can we give that to you? And we don't get these all the time, but we had this both times when we were getting to the end of a church building. And what should we do? What should we do? We said, look, we're not asking, but we're not going to turn away. We need metal for the roof, and so we announced to the church, and we did accept their gift. So we took overseas money for the roof, materials, but we built it ourselves. So this is inside, And I think it's beautiful. So this is a video, but I don't know if it's embedded correctly, because these are all videos. Anyways, this is them singing. Hey, Tim, are you able to switch over to that file? I put the movie file separately because I think this song would be neat. Can you switch over and play the movie? I think it's called, I don't remember. Play a movie file. Anyone, let's see what happens. Does it have audio? So that's, okay, that's a joint service. That was at Elim, the Selfish Church. All the church plants got together for that day. And there's 80 Christians in there and probably 200 people. So that was the Selfish Church, the biggest day on Reformation Day in October when we had the chance to baptize. Can you play another one? These are all, whatever, pardon me. This is tough.
Church tomorrow morning. Last week we had almost no chairs left, and we're hoping for a good service tomorrow.
So that guy's Tabiso. He's 24. He's preaching tomorrow when I'm here. So he dropped out of school when he's in eighth grade, and he's trying to be honest and hardworking, but he doesn't have a theological education. He doesn't have college. He has whatever he's learned from reading the Bible and from preaching. And he's going to preach Hebrews 9, 15 to 28. Pray for him. He openly says, I don't know how to do it. I'm just trying, but I've got to serve the Lord. So that board, on the board, another church member after the prayer meeting wrote that message. She's a 15-year-old girl. She said, please pray for those two people that they'd be saved, for Tabiso, that guy, and me. Let's pray for them to be saved. So that's the right attitude. You want to play another video? I don't even remember what's on here. These are all supposed to be embedded, but... Okay, so that's one of the other church plants I'll show you about just now. Play the next one. Just play them all and get back to the slides. Oh, this is my favorite. No, go to the next one. I love this window. I wouldn't pay the 17 grand. So this is us preaching on the streets and giving out Bibles to the people. So I'll tell you about this later. We preach on the streets now, and then we promise the people a Bible if they come for 10 weeks. So go back to the slideshow. Praise the Lord for really good audio-visual people. So Sunday school, men's meeting, that's one of the other church plants that you just saw the video of. They have 10 members there. That church plant was started. That's not our building. It's a government clinic that we use, along with other groups in the community use that. This is a baptism. There's a video that I don't know how to play it. This is a baptism we just did. We were baptizing another person here. There's the oldest person we baptized. She was born before there were ID books, so she doesn't know how old she is. But she gave a testimony of being a believer, and she said, I had been a worm, but now Jesus saved me. And then we went to visit her at her house before she was baptized. The other people were nearby, and they came in and talked to us, and they said, this one, she used to get drunk and always shout at us. She doesn't get drunk or shout anymore. So we thank the Lord for that evidence. Preaching points. We started a new ministry or a new method for evangelism, which I should have done years and years ago if I'd been clever, but or maybe bold. But we started preaching on the streets. So we'll find a tuck shop. So any place that has some shade, as you can see, there's shade there. We find a place with shade. We ask, do you mind if we preach and give out Bibles? They say no. So we set up a whiteboard, set up a stand, play two songs on the guitar, say, come, come. If you want to hear the gospel, come. And then we come back week after week. And then if somebody comes for 10 weeks, we give them a Bible. So we give away 30 Bibles there, and three of those people are still coming every Sunday to the church. 30 Bibles, 10% come. That's not always like that. Sometimes it's none. Sometimes it's rarely more than that. That's actually a high number. But from this preaching point, we've had 30-some people baptized over the last 3 years, and we've given over 500 Bibles away, and but most of them are adults that have been baptized. So this preaching point method has reached more adults by far than our other years combined, and we've only used it for about 4 years. So it's exhausting. It's embarrassing because you have to get out there and shout, and everybody stares at you, and they stare at you anyway because of your skin and whatnot, but get used to it after a while, and then people come to Jesus, piece at a time. Something die over there? Is that me or you? So I was just going to show you more pictures and videos of the preaching points. That's it. That's all I've got to say. What we are trying to do among the Tsongas is what Paul did with the early churches. We want to start churches that stand on their own. We do not look down on black people saying, you need to be helped. No, you don't. You need to repent. You need to read your Bibles and then stand up. And then we'll look at you square in the eye and say, brother. And we see it happen. And it dignifies every believer who does it. And it gives us joy because we know Christ died for that one. And it's a joy, and we hope it'll happen again and again. We've seen it happen 80 times, 80 believers. And we know it can happen hundreds or thousands if God will give his Spirit. Pray for us. Pray for the rural areas. If you ever want to visit us, of course you're welcome to visit us, but you can't really help. Because you don't know the language, unless you know Tonga. So if you don't know the language, and even if you do know the language, it generally takes a year or 2 years. So that's Mozambique, where that guy, Caleb, our oldest, would like to return. You can labor with us. If you want our prayer letters, sign up in the back. I know everyone's on WhatsApp. We're on Telegram. If you want to get that, download Telegram. My number's on there. We can chat, or you can just get the grace of the Tsongas once a month or once a week or so when I post those. Pray for the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need the Spirit of God. Pray for the Spirit of God. And then come join us. Thank you so much for your time, and may the Lord bless you. Father, thank you so much for the believers here who love the Lord. Thank you for the believers among the Tsongas. Thank you for saving your people, person by person, sinner by sinner, man by man, woman by woman, child by child, old man and old woman, one at a time until they will stand in the choir. Bless this church. Give them tears for the lost. Give them a zeal and a love for sinners to come to the Savior. Give them a love for Christ. Bless them as they stayed longer than they had intended or thought they would. In Christ's name, amen.
I think we can only rightly conclude this song with one that we all know and sing it, but I think seeing what we've seen now should give us a whole lot.